Well, when you're thinking about whether you want to do embryo adoption, it can be really helpful to not only do your homework, but talk with people who have been down the road before you. And if you end up doing that and then doing embryo adoption, you yourself may even become an advocate who can talk with people about the experience. That's the road that my guests today have taken. Hi, this is the Embryo Adoption Podcast brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. You can find out more about us by going to embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, your host and the Marketing and Development Director for the NEDC. And my guests today are Jeremiah and Carrie Chang, one of our awesome embryo adoption families. It's so good to have you guys here. I want to start by asking how you found out about embryo adoption and sort of what your motivation was to possibly pursue it as you found out about it.
It sort of started, I think both of us, we had a heart for adoption even before marriage. I think since becoming Christian for me personally, understanding and growing in this understanding of God's own adoption of us was really transformative for me, that concept that, God would bring his people into his family through adoption. And I think just understanding that we can partake in privilege of really tangibly showing God's adoption through physically adopting and providing for these children was just for me. So I think even before we got married, I had thought about adoption, and I think, as we got married, we talked about it more, and we were sort of like-minded in that desire. So we actually started, so after our son was born, Azariah, we started the process of actually going to domestic infant adoption. And so we started that process, and we were in there that process for probably, several years, and we're kind of matched several times, and then for various reasons that never materialized. And then after our daughter was born, continue the process, but it was around that time that we found out about embryo adoption through kind of reading. For me, it was like reading a memoir of someone had written something about their own story of embryo adoption. And that was the first time I had encountered the concept. And I think we had talked about it, and we both sort of individually researched it even more. And I think so through that time, God convicted us of just what embryo adoption is, how it's very much adoption like any other adoption. You're just sort of adopt child at a different stage in development, but God sees it the same way. They are still children created by him, right, after his own image. So God sort of convicted us about the reality of embryo adoption, and then also just the circumstances by which embryo adoption exists. We were more and more burdened as we sort of began to research about just some of the just sinful practices that were happening, out there that resulted in the creation of these children, and just the gross mistreatment of them, and I would say the summary of it is more just like the clear dehumanizing of these unborn children, where they're seen as mere commodities by a lot of people. And I think, seeing that and God just working in our hearts about that, we just believe this was the direction that we should go, switching from domestic infant to embryo adoption.
Yeah, and I would say as we started to research more about embryo adoption, God really faithfully gave more passion to become advocates, So it wasn't like, oh, we had this clear like calling, and then we started to proceed. It was like as we, took little steps of obedience for God gave us more passion and just more love for these children and the embryonic stage of development. So that's kind of how we entered into this type of adoption.
Well, and if I'm right, one of the steps on that path for you two was actually talking with people who had done embryo adoption, who shared your values, and who had gone through the NEDC before. I remember when you were here a few months ago and we met in person, you talked about how valuable that was. And I thought, as you said that, that could be really valuable to unpack on our podcast. So can you talk about how God used that to help you form your final decision to go for it?
Yeah, you can go.
Okay, well, for me, so we connected with a couple, Paul and Susan Lim, who had walked before us many years ago. And I think for me, because they're also another full Asian couple who, you know, did embryo adoption, and adoption in general in the Asian community is pretty rare. And it's also sometimes it can be seen as taboo. And so, and then just embryo adoption, it sounds very sci-fi to my parents. And so we were just like, how do we even begin explaining this to them, the process, and then explaining just the faith aspect. So when we connected with them and just seeing, you know, similar obstacles that they also face culturally, but then still continuing to persevere in this, knowing they are taking steps of obedience and it's honoring to God, I think that really just empowered us. You know, like when you're walking in obedience to God, there's inevitably going to be pushback, you know, but I was just really thankful to have previously connected with them, knowing like they're kind of were in a similar boat as us, but God brought them through and he is faithful to bring us through as well. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think because we were sort of like, yeah, the first, we don't really know personally other people that have gone through it in a deep sense, like, you know, close friends. We sort of developed friendships along the way. And that was really valuable because, yeah, there's a lot of just, it's very different, you know, I mean, within the international or domestic adoption community, there's, you know, you can find resources anywhere. And you can connect with people anywhere. And then with the embryo adoption, it's definitely a smaller community and you have to kind of go out and look for it. And, but it's there, but it's helpful because, it's just, there's a lot of questions that come up and I think God was faithful in, just bringing people that were like-minded and were, you know, going through, adopting these children for similar reasons. And that really encouraged us, you know, in our walk, because, you know, for us, the burden was, you know, to help these children to be obedient to God, and that was helpful. Yeah. That other people were doing the same thing with us. And that was encouraging that, yeah, there were other Christians who were also, you know, being convicted of the same thing and being obedient.
Yeah. God actually used Instagram to get me connected. The solid Christian mom who actually helped, I guess, kickstart this journey as well. So,
social media can be part of the puzzle these days. In fact, it usually is. That's just how it is when it comes to embryo adoption. And just a quick word to you who are listening. If you're thinking about going through the NEDC, or if you are going through the NEDC and doing embryo adoption, what the chains did can be really important. And you're free to ask anytime if a couple who has walked the road ahead of you would be willing to talk with you, whether that's over the phone, whether it's having coffee in person, if you live close enough. All you have to do is ask me, and I can usually help find you a couple. We have done that in multiple cases, and virtually every time, I think every time, you know, the couple that's wanted the help has said it's been incredibly valuable. So just know if you're going through the NEDC, that's a service that it's our joy to provide. We don't really provide the service. We just help you make the connection and we're glad to do that. So I mentioned that you guys did take the leap. You have been here. You mentioned you already have two children. So infertility was not part of your story. You have two children. Azariah is almost four. Alethea is two. So you're already well on your way to starting a great family. Tell me what your experience was when you were here in Knoxville to have your initial appointment at the NEDC, and how God has worked in your life since through the results.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone has said the same thing, which is that everyone at the NEDC has been very hospitable and very nice. And I mean, I think just initial contact with several people was really positive. And obviously Krista has been amazing at just responding and being helpful. And I think it was already like when we were going in, we were excited to meet people that we were corresponding to over email, you know, to finally just meet them in person. And it was just a very friendly visit. It was good to, thankful that the medical part that all checked in, it was very painless, to be honest. And obviously Dr. Keenan is great. He explained everything thoroughly. And so we had a really, you know, it was a quick visit for us. We kind of flew in and then, you know, got it done and then flew out. But we were very thankful that, you know, you guys have all been very helpful and patient and explained everything. And obviously it's kind of drinking water out of a fire hose on that first day, because people come in and they just keep talking. So, but yeah.
I'm glad you said that. That's a good thing to camp out on, is when you go to that initial appointment, it is like drinking from a fire hose. Nobody remembers it all. So it's good. I hope folks who are listening to this podcast will file that away. It's okay. These two got to the transfer stage, even though it was like drinking from a fire hose and they were sort of overwhelmed, you will too. And the other good news is we're actually working to significantly shorten those visits as we speak. We still want to have that personal touch where we really know our families and make that connection, but at the same time, making it easier on you guys. And so I can tell you, efforts to do that are already well along in the work, so it won't be long that the visits won't be as long. Carrie, go ahead. And you guys, I should mention, you know, you guys did eventually come have your transfer, and we can talk about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think after the first initial appointment, it was just really reassuring, like, you know, we're part of a very like-minded organization. All the staff we talked to were very life-affirming, and just, from the get-go, these children in this, you know, embryonic stage of development, everyone viewed them as children, you know, and, you know, very mattered. And we were just really, we're really thankful that, you know, it just everyone was on the same page. So I think we went home really reassured after the first appointment. And then the second appointment, the transfer, it was actually relatively painless too. The procedure was very fast, painless. I think the most painful part was the full bladder and just preparing for that. But again, all the staff were really great. And we felt like it went really smooth. Mm-hmm. Carol was really thorough in explaining the development of each of our embryos. And we ended up transferring three, and two thankfully continue to grow. And so right now I'm actually pregnant with twins. And we just found out last week that they are one boy, one girl.
I love it. I love it. How far along are you right now, Carrie?
I am currently 21 weeks.
Okay. So, wow, you're really, I mean, okay, so you're more than halfway through, almost to that stage that they would call viability. How exciting is this for you guys? And I don't know, do Azariah and Alethea, are they able to even understand what's going on?
Alethea, not so much, but Azariah, he does actually. He knows there's babies, you know, in my tummy, and he talks to them, he pats them, and he actually understands there is one boy, one girl. But we're still working on kind of formulating how to talk to them and, you know, these children about adoption and embryo adoption, the process. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
I love it. This is so exciting. And in just a few months, you're going to have a greatly expanded family from a family of four to a family of six. Well, you know, one thing that I've really been heartened by in my interactions with you two has been that you have really taken the bull by the horns and felt like you wanted to advocate for this cause. And, you know, you've done that a good amount today. You've unpacked what the experience was like. You've talked about actual people here that you'll meet. By the way, Chris, if you don't know, Chris does our patient coordinator, who's going to work with you a lot leading up to the initial appointment. Carol's our embryologist and lab director. So those are a couple of names that you would get to know. But I love seeing that you guys are so passionate about this. So talk about some of the opportunities that you have had to sort of spread the word about embryo adoption, how God has used that.
Yeah, that it's been just incredibly encouraging how God has used, you know, just our journey, the convictions he's given us, and how he's sovereignly, like, you know, given us, you know, these two children that, I think social media has been a huge avenue. Just in terms of connecting with personal friends, you know, and kind of like being able to mass spread the word, I guess, to people without having to individually talk to everyone. So that's been helpful. Like, we've been able to have a Facebook group and share updates and prayer requests and other things. And, you know, we're thankful that we have a very supportive church community that's been just supportive of our journey, very advocating on our behalf as well. It's interesting because, you know, when we started to become more burdened and advocating and just sharing more, most people don't know what embryo adoption is still, you know, and it's kind of, you know, a good reminder, because when you're in it, you just kind of assume, you know, this is a reality for you, and you just kind of assume everyone knows about it. But, you know, most people we talk to, they never heard of it, you know, and they're always like, oh, whoa, that's weird, you know, it's a good opportunity to kind of share, you know, like I said, what God has been doing in our heart and how he's led us into this journey, affirming like the personhood of these children. And, you know, and so God has really used, you know, this journey that we're on to kind of spread, you know, the word about these children and their need to be rescued from their state, and, you know, that he's created each and every one of them. So, we've had Orphan Sunday, you know, celebration at church as well. And that was a good way to kind of get the whole church aware of embryo adoption. And we were grateful that our leaders were kind of supportive with us being able to present, you know, the NEDC there. And, so that was neat too. Carrie has had many close friendships through the journey where she's been able to kind of share more personally with people who are interested or, you know, thinking about adoption in general, and maybe this could be an avenue for them as well.
Yeah. And I think it's also having conversations with friends and just like Christians who, you know, say, you know, we're pro-life and reaffirm personhood at like 8 weeks gestational, 20 weeks gestational, but then bring it a little back further, like what about 5 days post-fertilization, you know, even though, you know, they're little blobs, like these are still children, like we all looked like that at 5 days post-fertilization, and just helping people see like, yeah, these are children and this is a real adoption. And it's been really neat just spreading awareness, you know, having these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at least I know of at least one couple that has come here, at least in part, because you guys spread the word because they know you, right? I mean, we don't have to identify them by name, but okay, you've at least seen that happen. Somebody else has caught the vision, right?
Yeah, they're really good friends of ours.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Well, they're a terrific family, and we were glad to have them as well, and look forward to seeing what God does in their lives. You know, I guess the last thing I will ask you, and Jeremiah, you mentioned it earlier, you know, that there can be a stigma around adoption in the Asian American community. I've seen that in other communities as well. Is there anything you'd say specifically, anything about the process, tips, advice, things to look for or think about that you'd want to say to other Asian American couples who are thinking about doing embryo adoption? Here are some things that you should be prepared for.
Yeah.
A stigma. Well, I think in the Asian community, at least the more traditional, you know, maybe family members, the obstacle is like bloodlines and like that passing down the name. And, you know, I think that's why it's hard for a lot of more the traditional family members to kind of look past that. And also just, yeah, it's just rare within the larger Asian community. Man, there's like so much to unpack.
So be prepared to educate, right? When it comes to family members and friends, that's going to be really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. I think, I wish I can say like, oh, you know, if you say X, Y, and Z, then you can convince them. There was a lot of prayer. I mean, even when we introduced the concept of adoption in general back during our domestic infant adoption days, we had a lot of questions, and we had some pushback from family, and it was really difficult. And I think it was just adjusting our expectations. If we can only proceed after we get their approval, then we would never proceed, you know? And I think it's just trusting and praying a lot. And God was faithful, bringing supportive people, you know, via church and, you know, friends could, you know, intercede for us. But a lot of educating, a lot of practicing on how to present it clearly and not getting worked up. And then just, I would say just, yeah, faithfully persevering despite the pushbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, kind of goes back to your convictions and what you believe God is wanting to do for your family. And but yeah, I mean, I think bringing it up early may be helpful, just giving them time for these discussions or talking about it in general, not necessarily saying that you're gonna do it, might be helpful just to kind of get the discussion out there. But yeah, every family is different. So, but I would say, you know, for us, we were fortunate that even though we did get pushback, you know, everyone has been coming around, you know, and supportive at the end. So yeah, slowly, yeah. It did take work. You know, we were thankful for the prayers of a lot of our friends and families who were able to help out, yeah.
That's great. That's great. One last thing before we go. I get calls, a decent amount, I would say, from Asian Americans who are interested in doing embryo adoption. And their question is, are there going to be embryos there for me? And I tell them almost certainly yes, because, you know, generally the categories of embryos that we have and about the number stay about the same over the ebb and flow as certain embryos are adopted out, others come in. That's just usually how it goes. How did the matching process go for you guys? Was it difficult to select embryos? I think that'd be helpful to hear.
Yeah, definitely. For us, you know, it actually was not difficult. We had certain, you know, just based on our preferences and convictions, we did have certain things we were looking for. So it actually turned out that just one sort of matched what we were looking for. And so it was kind of easy in that way. But I mean, to kind of speak to your point, there definitely are, you know, various, I guess, Asian children in various makeups, you know, whether it's full Asian or half. And so I think that is, yeah, something important for those who are thinking about pursuing embryo adoption and know. But yeah, I mean, I think Yeah, sometimes I think less choice is better in the sense of, it just makes your job easier. You don't have to think too much about it. And I think fortunately for us, after we had these objective criteria we were already looking for, really one made sense for us. And so that was really, I think it just was easier to have peace with that decision. I think the matching process can get kind of tricky and you can kind of feel all these weird feelings, you know, because it's like almost shopping. And it's just not the greatest feeling, you know, to think about these are children, but, you know, it has to be made. So, but yeah, we were fortunate not to, you know, have to think too much about it. Yeah.
We did see, quite a number of, you know, Asian profiles in both open and anonymous. So it might be helpful just be open to look at both before making, you know, your final decision. Mm-hmm.
That's great advice. And yes, the embryos will be there. And that's why we're here. It's our joy to care for them. Well, I'll tell you, I'm so thankful to you two for being willing to do this and for all the other ways that you're spreading the word about embryo adoption. I should mention that we're doing this pretty early in the morning. I'm in the Eastern time zone and they're out on the West Coast. So it's really early for Jeremiah and Carrie. I really appreciate you taking the time. We are really excited for what God is doing in your family. And we cannot wait to see pictures of those babies. And hopefully we see them in person down the line as well. So if you want more information on any of this, you can go to our website. It's embryodonation.org. Again, embryodonation.org for the National Embryo Donation Center. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.